Psalm 42, and we're going to actually do something a little different. I don't know how much experience you have with this. It's going to be a little exercise we're going to be done together. And I don't even know exactly how all that's going to work out. We're just going to rely on the Holy Spirit. But we're actually going to practice what he's talking about as a congregation. We're going to actually have a prayer through the reading through the Bible of Psalm 42. And we'll talk more about that as we get to that part. But, and we can't read this, can we? See, now that's better, right? But not so great. Okay. The sermon title, I should have a sermon title. I'm sorry, guys. It's not a very professional presentation. I'm just doing the best I can. The title of the sermon is Fasting and Prayer Matters. Fasting and prayer matters. Matters to God. It matters to our families. It matters to our world, to our community. I don't know if you're familiar with a John Knox, but back in the 16th century, he was, Mary Queen of Scots said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." John Knox, near his death, asked his wife to read him the high priestly prayer in John 17 that our Lord Jesus prayed the night before he went to the cross. Knox called this passage my first anchor. And through his prayer and fasting, a whole nation changed. And so there's a lot of power in prayer. We read the passage in James 5 that the prayer of a righteous man has a great effect. And that's a treasured portion of Scripture for me, because when I could do nothing for myself and I was in that hospital bed with my open heart surgery and my wife got the elders of the church because she believed in what the Word said and brought them up to the hospital and anointed my head with oil, and I immediately received my sight back from the stroke that I had had. And I realized that there was a group of women, a convent in San Francisco, California, that was praying for me that I had never met. And I could feel the power of prayers coming from all different sources, and I was miraculously healed. Praise be to God by His power. And so that's a special passage for me about the power and effect of prayer. But we started last time, just to give you a review, because, and by the way, we have some visitors here. I see a couple here and a few new people here. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I started a series on fasting, so I'm just going to give you a quick review, okay? First of all, what is fasting? Well, I like to define it this way. It's a willful abstaining of pleasures. That could be food, but it could be other things. It could be TV, social events, distractions, etc. You fill in the blank for a spiritual purpose. It's a personal commitment to renounce the natural for the spiritual. What biblical fasting is not? It's not a diet, it's not missing a meal, but it's a commitment, it's a devotion. Without being combined with prayer and the Word of God, we're talking about biblical fasting here, it's really pretty worthless just to miss a meal if the Word of God is not connected with that. But with the God, with that, it has a synergistic power about it. What it's not, a great example of what biblical fasting is not, is what you read in Isaiah 58. And this is what God said about the fasting that was going on. They were asking, maybe you've asked this question, why are my prayers going unanswered? I pray, and I'm not getting an answer. So that's brought up in the text. And this is what God, how this God answers this, by saying essentially, I'm summarizing it because we don't have time to review all those passages. Because you did as an empty ritual, fasting, and you didn't bring the right kind of heart to the practice, it was empty, it was hollow, it was for show maybe. There was no spiritual substance behind what you were doing. And by the way, your behavior didn't match up with your practice because you were taking advantage of people in the workplace. And so, how would I honor that? And then we talked about why we fast. Why do you do that to begin with? Well, we're going to talk more specifically in the Bible passages that talk about it. But number one, a hunger for God's Spirit and His Word. A longing for God's glory to resound in the church and God's praise to resound among nations. And then we have many biblical precedents for why you fast. People like Moses, who fasted 40 days two different times. Elijah, you know, we read the passage in James talking about his prayer. Daniel, we spent time with Daniel last time when I started the subject in chapters 9 and 10. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Esther, we didn't talk about her fasting for her nation. Jesus, Paul, and many others. And ultimately, why do we fast? Because we want God more than we want anything else in this world. And if I say no to that flesh for a minute, then I can be more open to the things that God would want to speak into us. Amen? Now, what does fasting do? What are the benefits of biblical fasting? Fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. Fasting gives us a greater capacity. Remember when we talked about that? To get rid of the gunk in our pipes, and I equated it to God's great resource of water here, okay? And I have these pipes that come out, but I got all this gunk in it to where I can't. God's abundance, His power is unlimited, but my pipes are so clogged up, my capacity is so limited to do what He's trying to pour in me that fasting helps me to clean that out. And do you remember how I started to talk about some of the physical aspects? Just the physical aspects of what we know from 2015 on a scientific level, what happens anatomically in the body. Human growth hormone is released. Stem cells are released. You know all that expensive stuff you go to get stem cells to regenerate your body and all that and give you more life? Well, it happens naturally with fasting. Autophagy does not occur only when you fast. What's autophagy? It's this incredible, miraculous thing that God creates on a molecular level where bad cells, there are worthless cells that your body wants to get rid of. It actually can regenerate those cells and make new cells out of them. That only happens in fasting. I wonder if the same thing that God created on a physical level, I wonder if there's a spiritual autophagy that goes on in fasting. I think so. Fasting is not an option, but it's a command. Jesus says, you know, you shouldn't fast like all these Pharisees and Sadducees just wanting to be seen by men and all that. But He says, and when you fast, it's just assumed that as a serious believer that you would fast. Fourthly, fasting helps break habits, cravings, strongholds, addictions. How many of us say, I don't want to go through another year with this stronghold that Satan's got on me? That needs to be broken. One of the great things that I've experienced personally in fasting is cravings that I have with a more prolonged fast, and we talk more about how you do that, and I'm prayerfully considering how to do a longer series, a 3, 5, or 8-part series on this whole thing of prayer and fasting, and pray for me on that because I feel like the Lord wants me to share some things maybe on a more regional area in this regard. But this breaks that craving, that extra little bit of help that you need by leaning in and depending on the Lord to help you get through that, whatever that addiction or craving is, and it resets your whole microbiome in your body, and then your spirit gets tuned into the Word of God in prayer, and you can beat that thing that God is, that the enemy is trying to overpower you. And we're going to get a little bit back into that with Jesus and the devil and the wilderness and all that in a second. Also, fasting helps quiet the heart to hear from God, and it helps eliminate distractions that the spirit becomes more important than the body. I got to speed up. We looked at Daniel 9 and 10. Sorry, I got to get up here a little closer. And we saw an 80-year-old faithful servant in Daniel in that chapter who is confessing sin for himself and the nation, engaging in a 21-day fast. The angels of God were dispatched to engage Daniel and conduct spiritual warfare against principalities and powers, responding to Daniel's prayer and fasting petition. Remember they said in that passage, I have come, Daniel, because of your words. I'm here. I was told by God to get down here right now because of your words, because of your prayers. Oh, yeah, it took me 21 days to get here, but from the first day, Daniel, from the first day you started, I was going to get there, but I was doing warfare. I have come because of your words. The title of our sermon, Fasting and Prayer That Matters. This example we see, number one, what do we see? Is an example of persistence in prayer and that fasting matters to God. Secondly, we see in this story a sincere prayer and fasting activates spiritual warfare in the heavenly realm. Three, we see in the passage, he says, now I have come. The angel says, now I have come. What we mistakenly sometimes perceive is God delaying in answering our prayer is actually God has his own purpose, and that if we'll be faithful and persistent, we'll get victory. What happened as a result of that? Well, God gave Daniel revelation and understanding in that special time what Daniel was seeking. Because verse 1 says, a word was revealed to Daniel. So many times we ask God why. God, can you explain this to me? And then somehow or another, as we're faithful in prayer, he will answer those prayers. So in part two of this series, that was a review of part one. In part two of this series, we could talk about Moses. There's a lot I could share with you about that. Two different 40-day fasts. We don't have time. I could talk to you about Esther that called the people to join her in a 3-day fast. And that outpouring to God saved a whole nation at a given time for such a time as this. I could talk to you about Hannah, her fasting to have a child, and that she committed him to the service of the Lord, Samuel. But we don't have time. I could talk to you about David, king of Israel, who said, I humble myself with fasting, Psalm 35 and 13. I could talk to you about King Jehoshaphat. Wonderful, wonderful story. You got to read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I could talk to you about Ezra. He declared a group fast for provision as he faced the overwhelming challenge of restoring what had been destroyed of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, with the odds stacked against him, the very real danger of being robbed of the provision he was protecting from the benevolent gift of King Cyrus, over 5,400 articles of silver and gold that he has to take all the way from Babylon, all the way to Jerusalem, and there's bandits everywhere, and it's not a highway, and yeah. And so, you know, he needed God's provision in that. So, or of others. There's a lot of others that I would love to talk to you about, but with the time that's allotted me, I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about what Jesus has to say about fasting. Well, number one, I'd like to talk about how fasting breaks down strongholds. Well, what did Jesus have to say about fasting and breaking down strongholds? Well, if your Bible's with you, Matthew 17, 21, when Jesus was approached by the disciples, he had an incident, you see, where, you know, he had sent the disciples out, and the disciples were performing miracles, doing all kinds of things for Jesus. Jesus had given them authority, and there was this one particular boy that they were unable to cast the demon out of, and the father was perplexed, and he came to Jesus directly, and Jesus healed the boy. And so the disciples later on, you know, they kind of get with Jesus, and they're going, well, you know, why weren't we able to do it? And Jesus says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What are you saying, Jesus? Are you saying that there's some kind of demonic type strongholds that you need more help? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly what he's saying. So sometimes in a situation, maybe somebody shares something with me. Maybe there's a sin they're dealing with. Maybe they need extra people to come around them. Maybe they're like Esther, hey, I'm in this situation. I'm in this danger. And if I go before this king and do this, I'm dead. I need you to pray for me. In fact, I don't need you to just pray for me. I need you to fast for me. And I want you to ask you to fast for me for 3 days. I need help. I need spiritual help. I need victory in this situation. So, yeah. Then Mark, we'll look over at that, chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. And let's just read that. Now, John's disciples, y'all might be wondering about this situation, and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to him, hey, Jesus, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? Remember that? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when what? The bridegroom is taken away from them. And then they will fast in that day. Is that today? Is today one of those days? It certainly is. Jesus has left the planet for now. He's coming back. Matthew 28, he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me, and I want you to do what? I want you to go out. I want you to baptize people. I want you to bring them into the kingdom in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And tell them everything that I've commanded you. And you know what? You don't have to do it alone. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. But you know what? You need to fast and pray. And then I got a revelation this week. What does the next two verses have to do with what I just read? Let's read those. Share that with you and see what you think. The days will come, well, I'll read that, verse 21. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and worse tear is made, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Remember that? If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins, but the new wine is for fresh wineskins. They had fasting in the Old Testament, but this is a new fast. This is new wine. This is new revelation from God. I'd like to spend more time on that, but I don't have time. We'll go over to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to look some more. I'm trying to hit what Jesus has to say about fasting. That's where I'm going with this, and then we'll get to the other part. Let's read this section, and let's think about this a minute. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What had just happened previously to this? You remember Jesus had been baptized. The dove descended on him. This is my, Spirit of God. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then immediately after he's baptized, what does the Spirit of God tell him to do? Now let's think about this a minute. Jesus is 30 years old. Like y'all, he's in a new setting now, new phase. He's being sent out. He's been confirmed by God, the Holy Spirit. This is my Son. Listen to him. Jesus is going into the wilderness. First thing, into the wilderness. When Moses brought the people out of Egypt, where did he go? How many days was he in the wilderness? 40 years, right? How many days was Jesus in the wilderness? 40 days. Okay. When the people went out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, they had a problem with God's provision, did they not? And they had a problem with eating, right? And then what God would provide for them? Manna and quail, right? Were they happy with that? Were they satisfied with that? They complained about it. And so I want you to be kind of thinking about the parallels here between Moses' experience and now Jesus' experience. And Jesus is in the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit is taking him first thing into temptation. So there has to be a temptation, there has to be a test before there's a testimony, isn't it? So in our lives, it's likely to be tested, to have a testimony, to understand deliverance. You have to understand what you've been delivered from. And what happens? He fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. I always kind of smile at that. 40 days and 40 nights, yeah, I'd be hungry. But actually what we know is that at 40 days, that seems to be the golden number when your body starts actually eating itself. You can actually live on fat reserves for a long, long time. Now, I have more fat reserves than my wife. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." So when the people were in the wilderness, there was a temptation for them to not rely on the provision of God, right? They said, "You know what? I wish we just went back to Egypt. they have that garlic. And what was that other thing we were eating over there that we love so much? I just want to go back there and get that again. Onions and garlic. Oh, my goodness. And all we have is a bread and man over here. What does Jesus say to the tempter? Man shall, say it louder.
Man shall not live on bread alone.
Man shall live on bread alone. But what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So let me get this straight. If I'm fasting, and by the way, guys, the first day or two might be a little rough. I mean, and y'all need to go slow into this deal if you haven't done it before, okay? I mean, miss a meal or whatever. Don't miss a whole day. I mean, go slow. Work your way into it. But after a while, as you get more experience in this thing, you're not going to have hunger pains for a while. Okay? But you know what you're able to do in your spirit? You're able to really focus. You get a mental clarity in fasting. It's crazy. You get a mental clarity, and you can just get revelation from God on things that you're struggling with in your life in fasting, and you realize, I don't live on bread alone. I live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Say it with me. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and discerning both the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. You just memorized it. That is living. It's going in. Jesus is like a master surgeon, and he's going in there. Did I really need to know an open heart surgery if you're off 1/100th of an inch? That's it. Too much information. But I had to know. Don't watch the surgery. But that's the power of God's Word when I'm fasting and praying, for Him to go in and dissect all the foolishness in me and not just cut it out, but provide healing. You know what I sensed in my spirit when I went through that incident with God? God said, I am a healer! Exclamation. I am a healer, Mark. I can heal any physical problem you have. I can heal any addiction you have. I can deal any emotional problem you have. I'm a healer. Blessed are those, Jesus said, that hunger and thirst, not for manna, not for food, but for righteousness. And who makes you righteous? For they, that's a promise, guys. They might be healed. They should be healed. No. They will be filled. Amen? Jesus said in the prodigal son sermon, no, I'm not going to preach a sermon on the prodigal son, don't worry. How many of my father's, the son, the prodigal, help me, Lord. The son says, how many of my father's servants have more than enough bread? He's coming out of the hog pen. But I'm hungry. I'm out of gas. I don't have anything left in the tank. I'm done. Fasting and prayer is to help us to realize our hunger for God. How many of y'all are hungry for God? How many of y'all are like me? You want a greater hunger for God. You want a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So I'm going to offer a suggestion this morning with the 3 minutes that I have left. Number one, a few resources. Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough, Elmer Towns. Get that book, and if you need a bibliography, I've got 10 more that I'm reading through. And you can learn all that you want. Well, you can start the journey. Let's put it that way. It's a journey, and I feel like, guys, I feel like what I'm preaching about this morning, I understand about this much. Really, truly. I feel like I'm a spiritual infant in this area. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about trying to put this together, selfishly, it's for me. I need this in my life. And hey, maybe a few of you others, are you want to come along for the ride, and we can learn together, and we can do fast together, and we can pray together on things, and we can lean in and see what God does, see the miracles He does. That's what I want to do. I want to finish well. I want to finish in His will. How about you? Well, I don't want to tell you all this and not share with you an important tool that I think can help me, can help you in that regard, to feel that spiritual hunger, to help create an actual real spiritual hunger, and it's praying the Bible through Scripture. Now, I don't know about all of you, but sometimes it's a real challenge for me to pray. I just can't seem to get there. And I just want to do a quick little thing with you, because we don't have time to go into all this. I could do a whole session just on this easily, but if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 42, because I want you to just kind of get a taste of this, okay? Yeah.
Can you tell us the name of that book?
Sure. Praying the Bible,
yeah,
by Donald Whitney, and then Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough, Elmer Towns, and I've got about 10 more that I'm working through. But Psalm 42, if you'll turn over there to that, and we're going to go back to my wife's beautiful painting here. Look at that deer. See that stream? Say this with me, guys. As a deer pants for the water brook. Now, here we go. Lord, may I thirst for you as a deer. May I have a desire. Father, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. God, may I say no to my flesh and yes to you in a greater way today, this week. May I press in to what you have for me, Lord. Repeat after me. Oh God, my soul thirsts for you. Father, may I realize that you have the living water. And that I need to take your water into my life. My soul thirsts for you, a living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Lord, you know I get discouraged. You know there's times that in my life, Lord, where I just can't even get the energy to do anything about things, and I need your strength, Father. But I realize, Father, that in my weakness, you are made strong. So, Lord, I'm willing to be weak right now so that you can fill my cup, Father. So, Father, I'm going to pour out my cup right now of all the gunk that's in it, and I'm going to say, Lord, do with me as you wish. Okay, guys, do you get the idea of what I'm talking about here? I remember when I was in the hospital, once again, I keep going back to that because I want God to get all glory for all that he did for me, the miracle he did for me. But Psalm 23, I can't tell you how precious that was to me when I was laying in that bed and I couldn't do anything else for myself. I said, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. And this would be an opportunity you could say, God, I pray for the shepherds of our church. I pray for Bubba. I pray for Troy. I pray for our shepherds, the people that are trying, Jeremy. I pray for the people that are trying to shepherd us, Lord. Lord, may I be a willing follower of you, of them, of what we're trying to do in this community. You get the idea of what I'm talking about? In other words, As we read the Psalms, and there's 150 Psalms, guys, and they cover basically every possible topic that you could ever have in your life. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, if you don't know where to start, just start with number one. That was my granddad's favorite one.
There you go.
You know, as a tree planted by the river, you know, visualize, you know, the great strong oak that God's trying to build in your life. And then just start praying as you're praying into that and you're fasting into that, the Holy Spirit will quicken your spirit as to how to pray off that, right? And just stay open to that. Well, that's what I had for you this morning. And I thank you for your attention. And let's ask God's blessing on our continually leaning into Him and praying and fasting. And let me know what you think about this. Let me tell me some stories about what God's teaching you, because one of the very first things I would always ask people, Jeremy, when they got out of prison and I'd see them 10 years later or whatever, I said, well, what did God teach you? I'd like to know. I'd like to hear it. I could be encouraged by what God's teaching you. So let's lean into the subject and let's take some chances, guys. Let's take some risk, and let's see what God does with it. And I think we'll all be blessed by that. So thank you for your kind attention this morning, and may God bless the reading of His Word.